Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Greetings from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the October 20th, 2012 edition of Space Talk, live on the air right here on WMMB. Well, welcome aboard, everyone, as we gather once again for an hour of discussion concerning all things related to our nation's space program. We certainly do have a yet another full program planned for you today. Today with an emphasis on our local space education scene. We were going to have Mike Linebach from United Launch Alliance, former NASA Shuttle Launch Director. He had to cancel, unfortunately, pretty much at the last minute. Fortunately, with the help of my good friend Adrian Lafitte, we were able to get some folks back on with the Da Vinci Academy of Aerospace Technology at Merritt Island High School, their director and a couple students whom we had on earlier this year. They've grown up a little bit since then. We're going to talk to them some more about what's going on, again, with local space education. We also invite you, as always, to call into this live program. Let us know what's on your mind about the space program. Perhaps you have a question about space flight or have a comment or something you want to talk about, give us a call, 321-768-1240, or send an email to spacetalking@aol.com, and we'll try to get to you as quickly as possible. Again, first up on the program, as usual, today I offer my more or less weekly broadcast blog, Orbital Inclinations. Well, I almost missed seeing Felix Baumgartner's historic and record-setting jump from a balloon last Sunday, if it weren't for the fact that my Minnesota Vikings had a late afternoon kickoff against the Redskins, I would have missed it altogether. Watching on live TV as Felix sat there and the balloon climbed to altitude, and listening to the exchanges between Felix and the down-to-earth Joe Kittinger as they stepped through the checklist, I found myself becoming, well, as nervous and anxious as I always was during the final moments before a space shuttle launch. The final sequence of events ticked off quickly, and the next thing you know, we saw Felix stand up and jump. Actually, it looked more like he calmly leaned forward and just sort of fell. The brief moments when we saw him tumbling, of course, were very scary, but he regained control before the day became a disaster. Incredibly, after dropping 128,000 feet, 24 miles, and becoming the first human to break the sound barrier, quote-unquote, simply by falling, Felix touched down on his feet and remained standing as though he had just stepped off a bus or a train. Then, a few seconds later, he dropped to the ground and raised his arms in triumph. Wow! What a great moment! You know, humans have been to the moon, dived to the bottom of the ocean, flown around the world in an airplane without refueling, and, well, done a million other things that showcase the drive and determination of the human spirit. But at a time when the public thinks our space program is dormant or dead altogether, at a time when so many people seem to believe we ought to be using our resources for everything other than exploration and innovation, at a time when it seems playing it safe is more virtuous than taking risks, I assumed, apparently naively, that the broader space community would fully embrace this feat by Felix and trumpet its contributions to science and old-fashioned derring do. But it turns out I was wrong. In perusing the many comments posted online, in blogs and at the bottom of many stories, I saw an unbelievable number of negative comments that went beyond the usual uneducated and uncivilized dribble of name-calling and general stupidity that you too often see there. But the one recurring theme among some of the, well, allegedly more thoughtful posters was that while this was a nice stunt that might prompt more purchases of Red Bull energy drinks, this did not have anything to do with science. And if you thought it did, well, then, of course, you can't possibly know anything, or you shouldn't really have a right to express an opinion on the matter. Well, and as some of these people said, this had absolutely no bearing or relevance to our space program whatsoever. Of course, I couldn't disagree more. Well, yes, this was a very expensive publicity stunt for a product that I personally have no desire to try. Yes, despite the fact that this event was branded as a jump from space, Felix was, in fact, only halfway toward the arbitrary line of 50 miles that NASA and the Air Force consider space, let alone the bare minimum altitude of about 80 miles or so that you need to be at least briefly stay in orbit. But the fact of the matter is that plenty of scientists and engineers are talking about this jump and are hoping the recorded data will teach us more about how the human body responds to the kind of environment Felix found himself in. There is information now available that could help us improve the spacesuits our astronauts will wear in the future and the escape systems they might have to use. With the successful jump, there is now at least some evidence to suggest that it could be possible for future passengers of suborbital space tourism endeavors to bail out and survive an impending disaster. It's interesting to note that the man who was in charge of Felix's medical team was Dr. Jonathan Clark, a former NASA flight surgeon who is the widow of astronaut Laurel Clark, who was lost in 2003 aboard Columbia when it broke up over Texas during reentry. Now, of course, there was no way the Columbia crew could have escaped at that point in their descent, but watching Felix make his jump gave Clark some hope for a future crew that might be in peril. So the development of crew escape systems that could be used at much higher altitudes and faster speeds took at least one small step forward, thanks to what some unenlightened observers claim was just a stupid publicity stunt. By the way, the stunt did work in terms of generating publicity. In addition to the thousands of news stories appearing online, including more than 4,000 announcing this week that Felix had gotten engaged, more than 12 million people tuned in to either the Discovery Channel or to a live YouTube video feed to watch the jump live. That number is 4 times the average viewership per week of all the cable news channels combined. Now, rightly or wrongly, in terms of its actual correlation with our space program, that space jump thrilled people and got them excited about something intangible that I know remains deeply ingrained in all of us, and that's the spirit of exploration. We've seen that sense of excitement recently with each move of the space shuttle, Discovery out in Washington and Endeavor just now in Los Angeles. We've seen it with the landing of Curiosity on Mars, and now with the example of Felix's space jump. The challenge all of us in the space community still have is to figure out how to turn that thrill of discovery, the excitement of exploration, into real political capital that would prompt our elected leaders to invest more of our nation's resources on the final frontier, which I remain convinced will help us solve our urgent problems here on the ground. So thanks to Red Bull for having the guts to do what our own elected leaders too often fail to do, and that is to have the vision and the courage to put their money where their mouth is and make something like this happen to the benefit of science, future space travelers, and all of us. And that's this week's Orbital Inclinations. We're going to be back in just a few moments with a discussion of our local space education scene here at Merritt Island High School. A couple of great students joining us. The director of the Da Vinci Aerospace Academy of Technology coming up in just a moment or two. Stay tuned. I'm Jim Bank. You're listening to Space Talk on WMMB.
If you missed part of the show, catch the podcast, Space Talk, in the on-demand section at WMMBAM.com. If it's happening in space, Jim Behnke is there. Okay, well, not in space, but he's all about it. This is Space Talk on WMMB.
Hey, welcome back to Space Talk, everyone. 321-768-1240 is the number to call to participate in the program today. You can also send us your questions or comments in an email to spacetalking@aol.com. Well, several months ago, just after this show returned to the air after my hospital stay last year, we had some folks on from Merritt Island High School, part of Da Vinci Academy of Aerospace Technology, and it was just a great, great show, and learned a lot and a lot of great things to hear about. And now it's been several months. Our students who were here have grown up a little bit more and have had a great summer and continue in the program today. We have a new director. His name's Charles Parker. And we welcome all of them to the program today. Charles Parker is the director. We'll talk to him in a moment. We have with us today returning Alyssa Marcou and Alyssa Arricchio. And let's start with Alyssa Marcou. Alyssa, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Put your mouth way up by the microphone. There you go. Okay. Makes my mom and dad happy. Okay. Give us the update. You're not engaged and married and have kids yet, so that's cool.
No.
What's going on in your life this time around?
Well, I'm now officially a senior.
Yay.
So looking forward to graduating. I've got plans out. Finally got my acceptance to Florida Tech.
Florida Tech, really?
Yep.
Cool. So what's going to be the degree?
Software engineering and computer engineering.
Okay. And so Da Vinci Academy, you've been involved with this for how long as
Four
a student?
Years.
4 years?
Sorry,
the whole
freshman
time.
Year, yep.
So what brought you into the – we'll talk about the program, obviously, in a moment, but I'm curious what inspired you to become a part of it.
Just the idea of the focus on the science and math. That's always where my head's worked best.
Yeah.
I've been a math student, so it just seemed like, hey, this is where I'm going. This is a great program. It's technology. It's what I want to do.
And you've had some opportunities to intern at Lockheed Martin. We'll talk about that in a moment. Alyssa Arricchio, I've got my names backed up, so I got to remember which order you guys are sitting in. Alyssa, you're now, what, a junior this year?
Yes, I'm a junior this year.
Welcome back. Tell us what's going on with you.
Not much has really changed for me. I haven't got accepted to a new college or anything. Right now I'm looking to see what colleges I'm going to go to somewhere locally in Florida, but basically things are pretty much the same for me.
Pretty much the same. So as a junior now, remind me, it's been so long. A junior is the year you sign up for college or explore colleges?
It's the time you start taking the tests and, you know, looking for colleges and really planning for your future.
SATs, ACTs, and all that kind of. Have you taken those tests yet?
I took the ACT a few years, or like my sophomore year, but I have to start taking it now.
How do you think you did?
Oh, well, I did decent on my ACT, but I definitely have to get a better score.
You definitely need a better score. And how long have you been with the Da Vinci activity?
This is my third year now.
The third year. So you also began as a freshman. You're behind the other Alyssa.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what is it about it that that appealed to you as you first heard about it?
Well, actually, Alyssa and Tyler came to my middle school and, you know, talked up the program. And I always had an interest in engineering. So I just thought, why not sign up and see if I get in and see what happens from it.
See what
happens. It's been wonderful.
And,
so
okay, we'll talk more about it. By the way, you're talking about Tyler Johnson, the one and only, who appeared on this program earlier, and he's off trying to, you know, take control of the world or something today. As I'm sure Tyler's personality, that's exactly what he'd be doing. Charles Parker, the director here, first time with us on the program. Welcome, Charles. Tell us about yourself and how you fit into this.
Well, thank you very much. First off, I wanted to mention Alyssa Arricchio is dual enrolled. She is taking college classes. She's in my humanities class. I'm adjunct at BCC.
Oh, really?
She's in my class at BCC. So I wanted to give her props for that she's in college right now.
And that's a big deal to be doing the role. My youngest son did some of that, too, and really gives you a jump up on once you get to college. I mean, it's a really good thing.
It does, and we're starting to combine the dual enrolled with the academy idea at high school too, so it's still a work in progress, but we're getting there.
Plus the parents love it because you save a little money too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about the Da Vinci Academy. What is it all about?
I grew up a NASA brat. My dad was career NASA, and then I worked for an aerospace company, Research Triangle Institute, for 10 years back in the 80s and 90s, and I went into teaching a few years ago.
Yeah.
And then last year was approached to become the director of the Da Vinci Academy and jumped on it and love it. I love the students. They're just wonderful. And one of my main jobs is really getting community engagement, looking out in the community to see how we can get folks coming in to help. And as well, opportunities for the students to go out. And I'll talk about that a little later if you'd like,
curious, though. What did your dad do?
My dad worked first at WALPS Flight Facility.
Really?
From 1960 or 59, actually. Until
the Extreme Northern Launch Site.
Until 1980. And he grew up there, really, in aerospace. And he ended up being the director of safety up there and launched scout rockets and sounding rockets for years.
Oh, really?
And then he was hired as the director of safety and security and quality assurance at Kennedy. And was there from 80 to 85, and was their director of safety for all the early shuttle launches.
The Parker name seemed familiar to me.
Yes, yes. And then he started Research Triangle Institute in Cocoa Beach in 1985 and did that for about 15 years. And we did it at that job. We worked in the early days of commercial space back when it was under DOT, and we also did flight safety analysis for shuttle for the Air Force.
So that is, this is kind of the thing. One of the things, the angles to all this is what inspires these kids to do these things today. And we'll hear from the Alyssas why they're inspired with the space program. But that was, my kids growing up with space, this is the last thing they wanted to go into. You know, you followed kind of in a way your father's footsteps. What was it about space that appealed to you that this was such a big deal?
Well, I growing up in WALPS, it wasn't as sexy as it was down here in the 60s and 70s, but it was still wonderful. And then I spent my fourth birthday in Cocoa Beach at the very first Space Congress.
Oh, really?
Yes, he came down, and my family and I drove down here from Virginia, and I was at the Holiday Inn in Cocoa Beach for my fourth birthday.
You didn't happen to attend the paper session there. This is my favorite one from the first Space Congress. Man raiding the Gemini Titan launch vehicle.
No, I did not go to any paper sessions. I spent my time at the pool. But
good for you.
But it was a great time, and so just seeing my father and the excitement that he had, and then when we moved down here, getting to go out to the KSC for launches, and it was just I wanted to be a part of it. And the folks that I worked with at RTI when I worked with him were just such quality folks and smart, and just really, really great to be around.
Well, and I love hearing those kind of stories because it's the fabric of what we're all about here on the Space Coast. So going back to Da Vinci specifically, give us the elevator speech. What is it? We don't even kind of know what it is yet.
Well, we're a four-year academy at Merritt Island High School. The students each year have opportunity to take engineering-specific classes. We also supply them with many opportunities to go out on site visits. We've done some great things. We've had a time where we actually spoke to the International Space Station as it orbited over the high school. We've had through the CubeSat program, which you talked about in February, which is not part of Da Vinci, but many of the students are involved. They're able to work hand in glove with Lockheed Martin folks. We've had launch readiness reviews at the high school. The students get real hands-on training. We have a flight club with a flight simulator on campus, and just high-quality education for them.
What does it mean to have an academy? Is this like after-school club kind of a thing? Is this integrated into the curriculum?
Well, we really feel that we're a school within a school. Okay. It's just a cohort. We have about 75 students in the Aerospace Academy right now. We have two other academies at Merritt Island as well, FAME, which is Fine Arts and Media, and Hospitality. And the students go in cohorts in Da Vinci. They're together in their English classes and their science classes, as well as engineering classes. So they go together throughout the day.
They're enrolled in several classes together.
Yes,
okay.
And so we try to keep them in classes together so they form relationships.
Yeah.
And we do have some after-school activities as well, but most of it goes on within the school day.
So is it a theme of a way of imparting knowledge? Is this another credit you get on your record?
Well, it's a great part for your resume, obviously, if you're looking to go to college in an engineering background. And as well, since we have every student has electives built into their schedules, instead of taking some of these other electives, they take the engineering classes. And right now, I believe both Alyssas are in the digital electronics class right now, and they can talk about that, what they're doing in that class. And that's our highest level, I believe. One more higher than that, right?
There's the capstone class
capstone,
as well.
Right. And so they can talk to you more about the curriculum. They've been through those classes.
And with about 2 minutes before our first break here, Alyssa Riccio, Talk about what's a typical day. What's a typical day for you? You show up at the school. You get up in the morning and say, oh, I got to go to school again today, which I'm sure you're thrilled about.
Yeah.
But you get up, you go, you show up, you have breakfast. I mean, what's a typical day of an academy student like?
Well,
and how is it different from a quote-unquote normal kid?
Well, for me, I'm a little bit more different than the regular students because I'm also BCC dual enrolled. So I go to my first period class, which isn't a Da Vinci class. It's my economics class.
Uh-huh.
And then I go to my first Da Vinci class, which is my physics class. And my physics class is, I have with Da Vinci students. And because it's such a small group, we actually only have 12 students in there, which really helps the learning environment because you have such one-on-one with the teachers.
Sure.
And then we go to our digital electronics class, which has both juniors and seniors in it. So I share that class with Alyssa. And then I actually, after that, I take my AP photo class. And then after that, I go home and go to BCC. So my schedule is really different than a normal high school student.
The other Alyssa, do you take it up from there and just finish classes during the day? Is that basically it?
Actually, no, because I do the...
There's no average answer, is there?
These kids are high flyers, Jim. That's the thing.
Because I'm also dual enrolled, so I get up and first thing in the morning, I've actually got Calc 3 at BCC before heading out and starting my
Calc
day.
Calc 3 at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
What a nice way to wake up in the morning. Alyssa, girls, stand by. Charles, stand by. We're going to stop for our usual 5-minute built-in hold here at the bottom of the hour. Get you all caught up on the latest news, weather, and sports on this college football Saturday. We'll be back with more from these folks from Meridian High School talking space. I'm Jim Behnke, and you are listening to Space Talk on WMMB.
Space Talk is back in a minute. Call Jim now at 768-1240. This is Space Talk with Jim Behnke.
And welcome back, everybody, to our second half of Space Talk here on WMMB. Phone lines and online inbox open for your questions or comments. Again, always the phone number 321-768-1240. The email address is spacetalking@aol.com. If you're a friend or family member of either Alyssa Riccio or Alyssa Marcoux, now is the time to stump them on live radio. So give us a call, 321-768-1240. We are talking with two students and the director of the Da Vinci Academy of Aerospace Technology at Merritt Island High School. Incredible program to get kids, interested, excited, and educated about technology and things related to the space program. Charles Parker, the director. Charles, is it all space? Is it just technology? You mentioned the flight thing earlier, digital electronics. I think Alyssa was going to. Is it more than just rockets and mission operations?
Oh, absolutely. We try to have them touch base on a wide range of engineering besides just aerospace engineering. And as we said, we have a flight club, we have a flight simulator, we have pilots that come in and run that club for us, and that's really beneficial for some of the students that want to learn that aspect. And we have a variety of different speakers come into school. Matter of fact, we've got just this fall, in the next 4 or 5 weeks, we got somebody coming in doing a soft skills workshop to prepare them for job interviews.
Okay.
We had a person from the Brevard Workforce come in and talk about writing good resumes.
Yep. And folks there.
Right, and exactly, and we also are going to have some aerospace folks coming in and doing some speed mentoring as well. So we try to give them a broad brush of things that are going to help them be more successful in getting into college and getting career ready.
Well, and part of that getting career ready, of course, is hands-on experience. And I know you have programs, and we're going to talk to Alyssa here in just a second. Of course, we're going to talk to Alyssa. We have two Alyssas here today. But, Charles, the opportunities for the interaction with the public. I know you've got internships and other programs.
Right. One of my main jobs that I see over the next couple of years particularly is to really be reaching out to the community. We have a great advisory committee already with lots of folks from lots of different companies in Brevard County. And so we're going to be tapping into them and others as well. We'd like to get our students out into jobs for 1 to 2 day job shadowings, 10th graders and 11th graders. And then we're also looking for opportunities for the students to do longer term summer internships after their junior year, 6 to 8 weeks, where they can really go out and get really involved and learn what it's really all about.
Internships and the co-op, the whole thing at Kennedy Space Center, I know has been a huge program for them and a huge source of great people that have come through that program that have gone on to make, history out there. I fully expect Alyssa Marcoux to do the same thing. I've always been impressed with you, young lady. You've been you were an intern this summer. Since we chatted last, you went off to intern at Lockheed Martin. Tell us about that experience. How did it happen? How do you get into it? And tell us about what your day was out there.
Well, as you know, Tyler and I
yes.
seem to do a lot together.
Oh,
well,
that's fine.
We both filled out our own kind of resume.
Sure.
That handed it to Ms. Cheshire, who's the academy director at the time.
Right.
And Lockheed Martin was looking for two high school interns.
Okay.
And we both had the position, so yeah. the two of
did
us.
You applied, you interviewed, you go through kind of that whole thing too, or were you just lucky?
It was the resume that got us in.
Great.
I think for both of us. And
which gets back to the soft skills, you know, it's the whole thing. Yep. You know, so you're in there, you show up for work, what, and our buddy Adrian Lafitte says, here's where the coffee machine is, go to it.
Well, we had three or four actually Lockheed Martin employees who
yeah.
were kind of in charge of us. Herb Yamada, Dean Miyakusu, who are both on the advisory board. Adrian Lafitte was a part of it. Barb Kirshner, Margot Witcher.
Oh yeah, Margot's good. Yeah, yeah.
And we were set up, got our own little workstations and
really?
Computers, and it was
and
a bunch of.
What did you do?
It was a lot of job shadowing. We got to set up our own appointments with everyone from director Karen Jameson to leads on teams for software, for mechanical, for systems, engineering, everything.
You got a good view of what they do out there and how they do it.
Yeah. And one of our main jobs was helping out with the program that they run every summer, which is called Young Minds at Work.
Okay.
And all of the Lockheed Martin employees can bring in their kids and they go through and do a whole bunch of activities throughout the day. So we mm-hmm. helped set that up and did signs and things like that. And then,
what did you think? You reflected on it. You thought about it perhaps. You know, what did you learn? Was there anything that was really interesting to you that struck you?
Absolutely. I mean, aside from some of the tours where we got to see inside some of the buildings that
right.
you would never see, go up and touch a rocket.
Right.
Saw the Orion spacecraft.
Very cool.
We also just talking with some of the people, I didn't realize what and how many different types of engineering there was.
Mm-hmm.
And as I described, because I've always known what I wanted to do, but I wasn't exactly sure what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of got that more defined. I've found out, okay, well, it's not quite systems engineering, but it's closer than programming.
Okay.
So that was actually, and that in the context.
And well, sure, that certainly helps. It's interesting. You get a scope. I find this true every time I go out there, too, that the people don't understand what a big operation this is. And even the littlest thing they do out there is huge in terms of the number of people involved, the teamwork, the procedures, the systems that are in place. I mean, there's just a complexity to it that I think a lot of people have a hard time grasping. And you at your age to understand that and see that, it's kind of interesting. I mean, that's a great benefit of internship.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's great. Charles, let's go back. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is to better understand the process by which students apply for this and get into it. And I'm sure if I ask the Alyssas, they'll tell us different stories. But is there a standard way to get into this thing? And at what age do folks start looking at it?
Well, we market to primarily to Jefferson Middle School. They're our feeder school in Merritt Island,
okay.
Seventh and eighth grade. We talk to the eighth graders. We'll be going in January and talking to them before they do the registration for high school for the next year. We'll also be doing some engagement with parents as well. We also reach out to some other eighth grade schools in the greater Central Brevard area, McNair in Cocoa, and some of the private schools as well. But we have to be careful because we don't want to. It's a lot of competition in getting high school students these days,
sure.
and so we don't want to overstep our bounds.
Right.
But it's primarily Jefferson Middle School, and we choose 25 students from the eighth grade class to start in the ninth grade cohort. And basically, if we have more than that, we it's a lottery basically because it's more objective.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only, I think we have one on the waiting list right now from last year. So we usually hit right around that 25 person mark.
So and the lottery thing. So there's so many kids that want to do it, or at least there's a few more than you have. What about funding? Is this an issue for you? Is this sometimes you hear about these programs and you think, well, we spend half our time just asking and begging for money and support, How are you guys doing on that end?
Well, we do really well. We've gotten several wonderful grants from Lockheed and some other companies. We're connected with what's called Project Lead the Way, which is through the district and a more national organization. We don't get any district funding, so we raise all our money, but grants from aerospace companies, and then the students do little bits of contributing along the way for field trips and things. We need extra money for buses and things. Mm-hmm. We charge a little bit for that. But we're doing really well. We're so thankful for the support of the advisory committee and those companies. Particularly Lockheed Martin, who has really done some great funding for us.
Alyssa Riccio, as the junior.
We also apply for some other grants as well through a variety of companies and organizations, too.
You could always use more.
Yeah, absolutely. Checks made to.
Is the number of people, the 25 kids that you've got, directly related to the amount of money you get?
Well, that's a class size.
Okay.
Is 25 students in a cohort class in high school now.
Kind of limited to that
number. Right, yeah.
Alyssa, our junior. You heard your friend Alyssa talk about internships. Is that something you're looking at, your dual role? You got a lot going for you at this point. Is that something you definitely want to do this summer?
Yes, definitely. I want to do something civil engineering, and actually I have a friend whose dad is actually involved in civil engineering, so mm-hmm. this summer I'm looking for it, but also I'm going to apply to almost every internship that comes available to me so I can have as many possibilities
now,
as possible.
I got bells going off in the back of my head. You said civil engineering. Were you of the three of them the one that would like to build bridges on Mars?
Yeah, that was us talking about that. It's funny you mentioned that because I heard that on the news, and I was like, I remember talking about that on the radio, and
that's
now
right.
You know, it's on the news, and it's so...
And that's part of it that appeals to you is to build those it's not just space as a topic. It's what you can do that you're interested in that you can do in space. Isn't that more the deal?
Yeah, and it's also the thing I always said about civil engineering or engineering in general. I don't want to sit behind a desk and just do office work the rest
right.
of my life.
Right.
With engineering, you're always doing these different things. So you're always having different projects to come up with, and you're always having this creativity going in your mind. And I always just loved that about engineering.
And then when you see something built that you designed and had a hand in, the satisfaction must be incredible. Alyssa Marcoux, but let's remind us about you. Where do you want to go? You're a senior. You're about ready to hit the world, Florida Tech and all of that. Embry-Riddle would have been a nice school too, by the way, just speaking as an alumni. But that's okay. Our flight team is better than your flight team. But Florida Tech, you graduate then. Do you think you have it nailed down where you want to go after that?
Yeah, I'm looking to get hopefully dual bachelor's in software and computer engineering from Florida Tech before going to, my plan is, Carnegie Mellon for a master's in software engineering.
Oh, wow. So get all that done, and years from now, and student loans like, you know, you won't believe. Where do you want to come back here to the Cape? Is it launch operations, stuff around here interesting to you, or somewhere else?
Possibly.
30 seconds.
After this summer, I think I want to go into somewhere like Google first, get into private before possibly going working for NSA. Carnegie works really closely with the NSA, the Software Engineering Institute.
Sure.
So I'm hoping to get an in there once I'm working for my master's there. But I've been suggested to get into private sector first.
And again, I just think that's what's so neat. We talk so much about our space program, but we need kids interested. We talk about kids interested in math and science and pursue those careers. It's not just space. It's the whole range.
We have advisory committee members from Florida Tech and Embry-Riddle, by the way.
That's good. Okay, everyone, we're going to take our final break of the day. We come back, we'll wrap up our conversations, get you caught up on the launch forecast, and try something new today. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to Space Talk right here on WMMB.
If you missed part of the show, catch the podcast, Space Talk, in the on-demand section at WMMBAM.com. Listen to Space Talk on the web at WMMBAM.com.
And welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's edition of Space Talk with your reminder that you can stay in touch with us online throughout the week. Your first stop, of course, is WMMBAM.com, keyword Space Talk, where you can find an archive of the past Space Talk shows, hear the original episode of the Alyssa Tyler show, as well as text versions of Orbital Inclinations. You can also follow us on Twitter at Space Talking, and we have a Space Talk page on Facebook as well. Your questions and comments always welcome online. Let us know what you're thinking, what you'd like to see us talk about. Okay, let's check out the latest on when the next launch from Cape Canaveral is due. Our next shot remains the United Launch Alliance Atlas V rocket on a mission to carry the Air Force's X-37B orbital test vehicle back into space. However, since last week, the launch has officially moved to the right just a few days, now targeted to fly on October 30th, with the launch time as yet to be announced since this is a classified mission. Now, in terms of the launch schedule, and of course this is true all the time, be sure to use a pencil when writing down this date for the Atlas V because it could change again. The reason is that when the last Delta IV launched from the Cape on October 4th, there was a problem with the rocket engine on the Centaur upper stage. The launch itself was still a success, and even though this next shot is on an Atlas V, both of the rockets rely on the same family of Centaur hardware. So the Air Force wants to make sure that the cause of the Delta IV problem is understood and won't be an issue before the next Atlas V launch happens. So again, they're targeting October 30th. We'll see if they can hold to that date. We'll certainly let you know as the investigation continues. By the way, in the meantime, everyone should know that the next Soyuz launch, destined to carry three crew members to the International Space Station, is set for launch from the Baikonur Cosmodrome this Thursday, with liftoff set for 6:51 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Of course, it's much later in Kazakhstan. The crew includes veteran NASA astronaut Kevin Ford and two cosmonauts. We wish them well and Godspeed, of course. On an extremely related but not piece of news, we should remember that Fruit Loops came home this past week on the Big Bang Theory. So how he finally came home after spending several months aboard the fictional space station. Mike Massimino doing a great job again. Not so much a cameo anymore, but as a true actor, he's found his second calling as an astronaut. Also remind you that Atlantis is still set to move from Launch Complex 39. It's right now in the VAB. Over to the KSC Visitor Complex. That move set for November 2nd. By the way, I should mention Alyssa Riccio, our junior here from Da Vinci Academy at Merritt Highland. You were talking about your robot team was going to be part of that thing?
Yeah, they actually invited all the local robotics teams out, and we're getting to walk alongside it as it moves for the last time to its final resting position. That's going to be very, very cool.
Is the robot itself moving too?
I don't know if we're going to be driving the robot alongside us. We might be pulling it with a cart, but we'll be doing a demo most of that day, and we'll be showing off what we know.
That'll be so cool. That'll be so cool. Well, that's a neat opportunity. By the way, for more information about this launch, other launches happening scheduled around the world, do jump on the web to WMMBAM.com. Keyword Space Talk. Look for the link to our local launch forecast. Okay, in our remaining time today, again, we have with us from the Da Vinci Academy of Aerospace Technology at Merritt Island High School, its director, Charles Parker, Alyssa Marcoux, Alyssa Riccio, and we're going to use them as the guinea pigs today. Normally in this last segment of the program, since we've had it on, we try to spend these few minutes more with our guests talking about something or other. And we always wind up cutting them off short because there just not seems like a lot enough time to get to everything and get to the substance of any meaty conversation. And plus, we always like to have a little more fun. So from now on, after next launch, we're going to have what we call in space tech terminal count. And terminal count is going to be five questions that we're going to ask our guests. Sometimes they'll just be fun, harmless questions to get their opinion on something. We might do trivia questions. Perhaps even someday we'll do a trivia contest, open it up to our callers to try to win a fabulous prize or merchandise. We'll just kind of see how it goes and evolves through the weeks and months to come. But for today's inaugural terminal count here on Space Talk, we're going to ask five questions of our guests and get some real quick answers from each of them to learn a little bit more about them and their background. So the first one, we'll start with Charles, and we'll go Alyssa, is this. Coolest rocket, Charles.
Shuttle, night launch.
Shuttle, not Alyssa Riccio.
I was going to say the space shuttle also.
That's okay. Alyssa Marcoux.
I'm going with the Delta II.
Delta II. See, now that's classic. That shows real class. We may have had our last Delta II launch from the Cape. I don't know if we're going to have any more. I know there's one more in Vandenberg. They're still keeping Complex 17 open just in case. Okay, second question. Charles, first launch that you saw in person or that – or is particularly memorable to you?
early 1960s, Scout rocket from Wallops Flight Facility on the eastern shore of Virginia.
Really?
God's country.
God's country. It's a beautiful sight up there. Did it go into orbit?
Yes.
Scout went into orbit. Yep. That particular version was. Okay, Alyssa Riccio.
Well, growing up on Mary Island, I've watched many space shuttle launches, so I'm pretty sure, trying to remember back, that was one of the first ones I saw was the space shuttle going out back by my pool and just, like, watching it go up. Amazing.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
How old do you think you were?
That's your earliest memory.
You need to go back on the calendar and figure that out. It's important for your bio sometime in the future. Listen, Marku.
Probably most memorable launch. I know it wasn't my earliest memory of one, but there was a night launch. I remember going outside and all of a sudden it was daytime out.
And it was daytime. Wow. Probably shuttle. Who knows? Could have been anything. Where did Cocoa Beach, Maryland? Is that where you're?
Maryland.
So just about anything could have lit up the sky from there. Okay, this might be an unusual one for you. I don't know if you guys even have one yet, but your most prized space memorabilia.
I have a flag that was flown on the second shuttle launch that was presented to my father, and I have it in our possession now. So it's a really special thing for us.
Outstanding. Alyssa.
I don't really have any space memorabilia, but we'll hopefully be getting something soon.
Good hint for everybody. Alyssa.
Well, I'm hoping to get something more, but right now, photos that I took of one of the last flights, really cool photos.
Good. Best space TV series or movie, Charles?
Original Star Trek.
Very good. Alyssa?
Big Bang Theory.
All right.
I got to go with Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, it's really the best on right now, and you got to call it space-related. Okay, I'm going to need a judgment on whether or not Gilligan's Island is space-related someday, but that's another story. Moon, Mars, or beyond?
Mars.
Alyssa?
Beyond.
Good job, Melissa.
I'm going with Mars and then beyond.
Little bend in the rules there a little bit, but okay. Girls, thanks so much. Charles, thanks for being on the air again with us today.
Our pleasure.
Really appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
This has just been so much fun. All you guys are so impressive. I expect to see you, as I've said before, running the Kennedy Space Center someday. Melissa's going to design the future launch buildings, and Melissa's just going to be in charge of everything. Okay, and Tyler's going to be in there somewhere, probably in public affairs or something. Next week on Space Talk, we're going to focus on a space race of another kind that is part of the Google Lunar X Prize as we talk with Earthrise Space, a team vying for the prize to land a small robot on the moon, which is, and a team, by the way, based here in Central Florida. I'm sure you'll find it all interesting. That's it for now. Space Talk, a production of Mila Solutions. Brought to you thanks to the generous help of supporting sponsors Space Florida, Boeing, Abacus Technology, SpaceX, United Launch Alliance, and Lockheed Martin. My thanks to Sean Williams for manning the ops station for today's program. Please join us next Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time for another hour of Space Talk. Stay tuned now as WMMB presents a weekend edition of the Glenn Beck program. I'm Jim Bankey, and we'll talk to you again real soon.